129, let's stand and sing, "At last, and did my Savior bleed?" Question. "And did my Sovereign die?" Question. "Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I?" Question. These are all questions that we're asking about the greatness of God giving us his Son. 129, let's stand, sing with all your heart, "Bill, Come Lead Us at the Cross."
Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done he groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, Christ the mighty Maker died for man the creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Good singing. 272, The Solid Rock.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground it is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Praise the Lord for all this music today. Amen. Is this ministering to anybody's heart today? Man, I love this. I mean, from the beginning, Sunday school, they drew me out with my sins are gone. It's just good. Aren't you glad when God speaks to your heart? This music is so, so good. I don't want to be done. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Bill, why don't you get the cordless microphone? Where is that one? Wes, would you cough that up and give it to Bill? Bill, would you turn on Bill? Bill, would you turn up Bill? Bill, would you say, my hope is built on nothing less for a test?
My hope is built on nothing less.
Man, what a guy. What a voice. That sounds good. Oh, the voice about the blood. That's good. So, Bill, you're going to lead us with your voice from back there. May we go through this again? Is that, I feel like we just drove through, you know, Golden Corral, and I was going through on one of those electric carts, and I was trying to get it all, and I feel like there's more to get. So I want to get a little bit more. Look at verse 1. My hope is built nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame. Edward Moti said, I'm going to wholly lean on Jesus' name. I shall never for a second rely on my goodness, my faithfulness, my own righteousness. I don't remember who it is at this moment in time, but one of the great men of God of the past, on his dying deathbed, he said, Satan whispered into my ear, and he says he was trusted in Christ. He says, you have been a very godly man. You deserve heaven. And he's trying to inflate his ego in his dying moment right before he saw Christ. He says, nay, never, no, nothing. It is God. It is Christ. It is not me. All God's people said,
amen.
I'm trying to get you primed up this morning. Come on now. Come on. Bill, lead us in verse 1. And let's all sing verse 1 together here. Here we go.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Just the ladies on verse 2. Get them started, Bill, on verse 2. Here we go.
My hope is...
All together on the chorus.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
All the fellas on verse 3, Bill, lead all the fellas. Ladies, join us on the chorus. Verse 3.
His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Verse 4 says, when he shall come with trumpet sound, You've seen military parades, World War II. You've seen victory over Japan. We've seen sports teams return to their home. We've seen city streets crowded. But those are men applauding men. Jesus is going to come back one day. The trumpet's going to sound. And we're going to know that He is Lord. He is King. It's going to be a day. It's going to be an amazing day. When He shall come with trumpet sound. Oh, may I then in Him be found. When He returns, you want to have His righteousness. You want to be saved when the King comes. Dressed in His righteousness alone. With the ability, faultless, to stand before the throne. You know, we've got the righteousness of Christ. It's an amazing thing. Verse 4, Bill, lead us in this final verse.
When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Are you saved?
Yes.
Oh, I just got to get a perfect Savior. Wonderful, wonderful. Father, we want to thank You for this good day. We thank You for the words, the music, the songs, Lord, the instruments, those that play, those that sing. Thank You for the voices You've given us, the words that we can form with our tongue and with our mind, and we can praise You. Lord, there's a lot of things this tongue can say. Lord, this tongue is so capable of so many unbecoming things, but Father, praise the Lord that once Christ comes in and gains control and resides within us, Lord, that tongue can be harnessed to say things that honor and glorify God. And we thank You that we can praise You this day. We thank You for this church. We thank You for Christ, who is the head of this church. We're so glad God gave His Son to be our Savior, to put upon flesh, to take all of our sins, to publicly die the most humiliating death known at that time for criminals and robbers and extortioners and those who would overthrow the government. Lord, the reproach and the shame that You took upon Yourself that day, in addition to all of our sins, God, was a monstrous and huge thing. For that we thank You today, for taking all of our pitiful behavior, all of our reckless living, God, all of the things that don't please You, all of the things that condemn us, all of the things that drive us far from Thy presence, all of the things that cause a breach so big and a gap so large that we could never come to Thee unless Jesus Christ, Your Son, had come to this earth and reconciled us and brought us to God. Father, we're so glad we've been born and been brought to our parents, and we're so glad we've been born and brought to this great country. We're so glad we've been brought to health and prosperity, and we're so glad we've been brought to this church. But Lord God, we've been brought to You. God, You told Your people, You're not just out here in the desert. You're not just out here before this mountain. You're not just out of Egypt. You've been brought to the living God. You brought them to Yourself. And Lord, You've brought us even closer to Yourself than You ever brought to them. The Spirit of God and the life of Christ indwells us. May we have a large place for You to reside and to do Your work. We want Jesus Christ to dominate our lives. We want Christ to be the Lord who He is, not just on the throne or not just coming one day. We want You to be the Lord of our lives. We worship Thee this day. We love You this day. Drive the world far from this place. Drive the complaining, bitter spirit far from this place. Drive unforgiveness. Drive anything that is displeasing to thee far from this place under the blood of Christ. May you drive it so far. Lord, you say you've buried our sins in the depths of the sea and they are not able to be found. Drive carnal hearts far from this place. Drive divided allegiances far from this place. Use thy word, this church, everything today to help us realign to our great God and our great Savior. Thank you for how you've ministered to our hearts within the first 3 minutes of Sunday school. Thank you for the overflowing spirit of the three men that just gave thy word and couldn't hardly stop. God, continue to do what you want to do in this service. May we be pliable. May we love your presence. May we love your word. May we love your church. May Jesus Christ reign supreme today in every heart. In Christ's name. And for Christ's sake, amen. 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 You know, we have a schedule in this church. We have Sunday school at 10. We have church at 11. But we're not so rigid that we can't follow the Spirit of God. You know, some people are so rigid, they never do anything outside of what's on that little piece of paper. And then you got freewheelers who seem to do whatever they want. And you're like, why don't you get a little bit of structure? Somewhere there's a medium here. I want God, if Jesus Christ is the head of this church, if the Spirit of God controls you and I, he ought to be able to do some things that are out of the ordinary from time to time. And we ought to be synced up with God. We ought to be hooked up with him. We've been living in the world all week, and we come here, and God just aligns our hearts. And it's like that, like those little puppets, you know, and on the strings, and God picks them up. They're just laying all over, and God picks them up, and he just straightens us out, and he just gets us where we need to be. My heart has been ministered to. I feel like I could go home right now. God has so ministered to my heart. I feel like I could eat with you in the fellowship hall. We could just talk about the blessings of the morning already. God so spoke through the Sunday school hour with these three men, it was like a triple crown. It was amazing. These guys, if you missed it, you missed it. Man, you missed it. It was wonderful. And fellas, you blessed my heart, Brother Tom and Brother Kevin and then Brother Luke. You know, Brother Luke got up and Sunday school was supposed to be over. He said, I need a few minutes. I was like, go for it, brother. If you want to go to 11:15, so what? I don't even have to preach to any of these guys. They're so fired up, full of God. I love it. I love it. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We've got a bulletin here that's different. How many of you like different? The reason this is different is because somebody got a hold of the bulletin again and kind of didn't know what they were doing. And I meant for that on the inside right, I meant for that to be on the back. But the way that I printed it up, it couldn't be on the back. So it's either the front or the inside. So we're not trying to pull anything here. I'm just explaining that I didn't know what I was doing. And so you've got, you know, when Kevin gives you the announcements, that's on the back. So let's see if we can readjust here.
Amen. And good morning, everyone. It is good to see you. It is good that Pastor told me there was stuff on the back. I did not see that. So I am glad to have that announced. And my heart is full here this morning. I am just, it is just a great blessing and encouraged. If your heart is not full, fix it. Get it right and get in on the stuff. It is good stuff. Praise the Lord for what he does. And we continue on here in our morning message. I look forward to a message from Numbers and look forward to that. Be in mind here for orchestra practice at 5:30 here, and then a great upcoming week here. Our Wednesday night evening service will be at 7 p.m. with split sessions. Please make sure you're here for that. It is a great blessing. It is an encouragement. Pastor will talk to the fellas, and it is heart-to-heart, and it's a blessing, and ladies get ministered to, and what a blessing it is. Please be here for that. There'll be no Tuesday prayer meeting this week. Doesn't mean that prayers can't have to stop. They can continue to pray for that, and there's many things that we need to pray for here at this church, and so please lift those prayers up. We'll have a Thursday men's meeting prayer at 6 a.m. If you're able to join us, please make sure you do that. The Bible reading schedule is there on the bottom there as we continue through Numbers, and make sure you keep up with that. And then next Sunday, it is going to be another spectacular day. It'll be just an encouragement and a great time of fellowship. Please plan for our next Sunday service to have lunch after we have church here, our morning service, and then we'll have lunchtime, and we will then meet back in here for our evening service and continue right through the day. It's an encouragement when we do that. I enjoy it. It's a great time. We get to spend time with the people maybe that we don't spend a lot of time with, so it's a great time to fellowship and encouragement there. And if you can sign up to bring some dishes there, we need some desserts, of course, and if you want to bring something healthy, you're more than welcome to do that, but the dessert are encouraged. So please sign up for those. There is a Dropbox account. Who here knows what Dropbox is? Everybody know what Dropbox is? If you don't know what Dropbox is, let us know. Hopefully you know what the internet is, and we can help you with that, and you can get right into the Dropbox. It's been a blessing. I know Brother Dorman was very encouraged by it there, that he could go out and listen to past messages. And I hope Brother Tom, was Tom on this morning? Okay. I couldn't go fast enough with Brother Tom. He was going fast. And I'd like to hear him do that again, because there was some great stuff there. And but there is some great messages out there. Please feel free to listen to those. It's amazing how God will speak to you a second time through a message that he's already spoken to you on. So great time there. We got birthdays this week. We've got Brother Dorman is having a birthday on Tuesday. Make sure that we wish him happy birthday. Abigail Norton, Lauren Davis on Friday. How old will you be? There she is. Whoa! All the way down there. You guys change places? 15. All right. Wonderful. We'll give her a happy birthday. Ruth Schumar and Elizabeth Jeffcoat and Sophia Schneider will be 2 years old. Wish her a happy birthday and encourage that family along. Please keep the Schneiders in your prayers as they are just going through a busy, busy time in their life, and so lift them up in your prayers. Missionaries of the week are the Long family, as they have their new baby, and our missionaries in Utah there. Please lift them up. If you can send them a word of encouragement, it is always encouraged, and please hang on to your bulletin and use the inside. Use that this morning as we continue along here. Pastor?
Thank you, Kevin. Ushers, would you come? Let's receive the offering this morning. And while they're coming, Brother Jake, would you come and give us our missionary update?
All right. I received a couple letters from the missionaries to read. Sometimes there's a space between, and then there will be a little rush. So I try to keep up with them as best as I can. I'm going to try to spread them out a little bit more so we can still be encouraged by their letters as they come in. This one is from the Ruppel family. It says, "Dear friends, God allowed us to do many things for him, but we did not always see what God accomplishes through our service. We do know that his word will prosper. It will produce fruit, but we are not always present for the harvest. In 2004, a number of our supporting churches provided funds for us to print 50,000 copies of an evangelistic full-cover 40-page booklet that I had written a couple years before. The large printing allowed us to provide the booklets to missionaries and churches for a very low price. We have printed a total of 95,000 booklets in the last 10 years. As we sorted and prepared the booklets from the original printing, I ask God to use these seeds of his word to produce fruit in many lives, whether we knew about it or not. Last week, we had a singles activity with Brother Stephen Benefield's church, where I used young people to tell us how they got saved. God surprised us. Sophia, from Brother Stephen's church, started her testimony by saying, "I first heard about Jesus through Brother Rodney's church. My grandma read to us from a Do You Know God booklet that she received from some of his soul winners. We did not know them, and they never came to our church. However, a number of years later, her older sister was saved at Brother Benefield's church. Sophia then also went to church and was given another Do You Know God booklet before being introduced to Christ. Churches gave for printing and most likely never met a soul changed by these booklets. Regardless, God is still keeping an account of the fruit of their account. Our church has labored to get the gospel to as many lost Cambodians as we can, and we have seen hundreds come to Christ. However, there may be thousands whom God has changed through these seeds. It is awesome. It is an awesome privilege to be used by God to do something that is way bigger than my life. As a 9 or 10 year old child, seeds were planted in Sophia's heart. The power of gospel did a great work unto salvation. Now, please pray for this young lady to continue to produce fruit for the glory of God and for the furtherance of his kingdom. Rejoicing, Rodney Ruppel." I did want to mention there was something interesting. They have a pray for these people to accept Christ list, something we don't see very often. The first person on there is a person by the name of Song, and in parentheses it says they're a witch doctor. We don't see that very often around here. But please pray for some of these people. I'll post it back there. There's quite a list of names here. But keep them in your prayers.
Thank you, Jake. Brother Olson, would you come and pray for the offering this morning? Keep the Ruppels in mind. They're doing a tremendous job for the Lord over there. And we really should take that list, huh, and pray for some of those folks. That'd be good. If you have any, Brother Olson's going to be alone for a couple of weeks because his wife is out in Colorado. So if you have any table scraps left over from this morning, you know, bring them tonight. He might accept that, all right? Brother Olson, we're glad you're here praying for your wife, and let's pray together.
Will you pray with me, please? Dear Lord and God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to come to thy house once more, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, for the sunshine we've been able to enjoy this week, Lord, and the nicer weather. We also are thankful, Lord, for the Sunday school hour and the men that spoke, Lord. We are just thankful, Lord, that you were able to direct these men this week as they prepared the lessons for us to hear. Now at this time, Lord, we also think of Mrs. Beach, Lord. We just pray that you'll be with her. Continue to be with her health, Lord. Have your hand on her health problems, Lord. Continue to strengthen and encourage her, Lord. Be with Pastor Beach, Lord, as he is the sole caretaker, Lord. Help to also encourage him and help him to keep his strength up as he has many duties around the house. Now, Lord, we thank you for this offering and pray that you use it for thine and glory. In thy name we ask it. Amen. Thank you.
Teens, would you come and be prepared to sing right before the message? Junior church, just stay here with us for a moment, and I want you to hear these kids sing. Numbers chapter 1, find your Bible, please, and we'll go to that book, Numbers 1 and 2, and look at a few things there. So have God's Word ready, have your heart opened up, and these kids are going to sing for us this morning. What a day that will be. Chapter 1, please. Junior church, you can be dismissed. I want to encourage you to use the inside of the bulletin there today to get our orientation and to jot a few things down that will be good. Did you see that beautiful snow coming down earlier? I can feel that spring is still coming. Yeah. Numbers 1. How many of you are in Numbers? You've made the transition from Leviticus. You're in Numbers. You're cruising through. All right. And we're going to up the reading just a little bit. But there's some good things in here we want to highlight. From chapter 1 and chapter 2, I want to draw out these three things. And they're on your page there. And that is that God's people are all numbered. They're all numbered by God. He knows how many he has. And not only are they numbered, but we learn from this book here that they all are oriented. They should be oriented to God. They are numbered by him, but God is their orientation, their point of reference. They were camped all around that tabernacle. And closely related to that, God's people are all placed. And they knew their spot. They knew exactly where they should be around that tabernacle. And of course, in this day in the church, we have been placed as well. And I hope you know your place. Hope you're occupying your place. And let's go to the first one. God's people are numbered. And, you know, there's going to be different opinions here on the importance of numbers. Some ministries, some pastors, some churches, numbers. They all talk about numbers. And then others say from time to time, numbers aren't important. God wrote a book on numbers. You can't say that anymore. Right? Numbers are important. It's not everything, but it is something. So somewhere in the middle, it is very important. And so God's people are all numbered here. And it says in verse 2, take the sum of all the congregation, add them all up, of the children of Israel, after their families, by the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their polls. From 20 years old and upward, all that are able to go forth to war in Israel, thou and Aaron, shall number them by their armies. And verse 19, it says, he numbered them. Verse 21, they numbered the tribe of Reuben. Verse 23, they numbered the tribe of Simeon. And they numbered every single tribe. They numbered. Later, they're going to number all of the Levites. And then they're going to number all of the people together on each major tribe. And so God's people are numbered here. So he goes through and he gives them the total number in each tribe. How many men are 20? They're able to go forth to war. And the number of each tribe comes up. God is interested in numbers. God numbered the days of creation. God knows the number of the saved people that are on this earth at this given point in time. Okay? So the first question is, when it comes to God's people being numbered, are you numbered in the family of God? Are you saved? Are you numbered in that number of all those that are redeemed? 2 Timothy 2:19, the Lord knoweth them that are his. God knows every person on this earth who have been saved, born again. They put their trust in Christ, and he indwells them. If anybody knows, God knows. He knows. Are you numbered in God's family? John 10 and verse 3, Jesus said, I am the shepherd, and I know my sheep. I call them by name. God knows every saved person. Jesus knows every saved person, and Jesus was the shepherd, and shepherds always count sheep. Amen? The shepherd every night would count his sheep. You ever had a child that liked to count their money? And maybe they had $13, and you know, Jennifer used to iron her money when she was a kid. She'd laundry it, get it real nice and crisp. And do you remember having money? You ever remember counting the same set of money? I got 13. I still got 13. I got 13. And people count money, count other things. God, shepherds always counted their sheep. And every night they'd come into the fold and they would number them. They would count them because they don't want to have any missing. And so Jesus knows those that are his sheep in this world and in Michigan and in this church. God knows if you're his. So you need to be numbered in God's family. In the book of Revelation, God numbers all of the saints with this gigantic number. It's like a scientific notation number. And he talks about the millions of saints that are gathered around the throne of God saying, holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb that was slain from the beginning of the world. And so God numbers all of those. In Revelation 20 and verse 12, there is a book called the Book of Life. And God is going to open that book. And all the people that have ever been born and lived and died are going to stand before God. And God is going to go through that book. And those that have their name in the Book of Life will be saved and are saved and will be in heaven. Those that are not in that book will be cast into hell forever. So, when God numbers his people, the first numbering is, are you in his family? Are you in God's family? Are you saved? That is the first number. God knows that number. Now, these people had all made a covenant with God. And so they were his, and he's going to number how many are in his army. So question number two, are you numbered in God's army? And I don't mean do you feel as if you are an elite fighting force for God. I don't mean that at all. I don't mean, you know, oh yeah, I feel like I'm a spiritual Navy SEAL. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, does God have you in his number? And the answer is, if you're saved, Oh, yes. Yes. Every saved person is numbered in God's army. And so he numbers Reuben. I went through in each tribe that were numbered, and I wrote the tribe and the number in the margin. So by verse 21, I have 46,500. So there were 46,500 in the tribe of Reuben that were 20 and above and able to go to war. Simeon, verse 23, 59,300. That's a lot of young men. I'd like to see 59,300 Simeonites lined up side by side. Wouldn't it be pretty neat to see? And then you go to Gad. How many does Gad have? Gad. Find Gad. Verse 25. Yes, 45,650. So Moses numbers them. It was God's idea, but it was not for God's knowledge. God knew how many they had. He wanted them to know how many they had. Now, a footnote, God told David later, you know, don't number the soldiers. And the reason there was, once God had prospered them so much, he's, I don't want you to have an overconfidence in how many soldiers you have and how many Philistines you have killed. And there can be an overconfidence when God really blesses with the numbers. And so he says, I don't want you relying in yourself, in your beautiful horse, in your chariot, in your proven sword or your shield or your spear. I want you to trust in me. So that was a prohibition based upon overconfidence in man. Well, here, God knew their number before Moses made the tally. God's numbering here, I think, was for their own accountability before God, that they would know, you know what? God brought me to himself. I have made a covenant with God. I'm not just to enjoy all of the benefits of this wonderful life that God has given to me. I am to be battling for God. And God says, I'm not just his son or his daughter. I am his soldier for the truth. And so it was a kind of an accountability that, you know what, God has us numbered. To know that they were accountable, that God was counting on them. And I think that God was trying to show them when they saw all of these numbers, when they summed it all up, and they had Reuben over here with the 46,500, I think God was trying to show them collectively what their full potential was. Okay? God wants this church to think about not who is here, but who should be here all the way down to the last person. I don't think we've ever had a service in 11 years where everybody was here. I think about that every single time I come to this church because I'm a shepherd. God says he thinks about it too. And he says, I want the people to think about what their full capacity is. And don't count, you know, who's always here, who's some. He says, look at, I want you to think about what the capacity of this church is. I'm not talking about who is just here right now or who is normally here. God wants us to think about the total capacity of this church. Can you imagine if everybody who has been here in the last year were here in this building right now, there wouldn't be enough room for everybody. God wants us to think about what the total capacity of our effort could be if we all said, you know, he's numbered me. The capacity, the accountability. I mean, you know, employers think about who comes to work, don't they? Yeah. And God thinks about who's enlisted and who's there. And so he says, I've numbered you. I think it's for accountability. I think it's to know their full capacity. And as I looked at this encampment, this overall view of somebody looking down upon this encampment, if you looked at 603,000 able men, 550, that is a force to be reckoned with. And he numbered. He numbered all of them. And so they were numbered. Now go to chapter 2. They were oriented. They were oriented, meaning they were numbered by God. But God's people have their orientation to him and to him alone. Chapter 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, every man of the children of Israel shall pitch by his own standard. Now, let me just say, that doesn't mean we all do our own thing. Well, I've got my standard, you've got your standard. That's not what that means. That means the standard of the family, the insignia of your tribe, get there, pitch, camp. This is like so Michigan. You know? This is like Michigan. If you like camping, this is camping here. And that's why I call them camp meetings and tabernacles and tents and pitch the tent. And pitch by his own standard with the ensign of their father's house far off about the tabernacle. I want you to underline about the tabernacle, or remember those words, about the tabernacle. Okay, now they were to be close enough to know what was going on and to worship God and to get the information, but they were not to be so close where they would press beyond the border and be killed. Because they couldn't, that's why the Levites were in the middle and all of the tribes of the priests around the tabernacle, less curious ones would come into the very presence of God and God would have to slay them. So close enough, but not too close for your danger. And, you know, we don't want you living right here. We don't want your family living right here. That was sort of a joke. You know, we want you to be closely attached to this church, but we don't want you living in the foyer. So far off, close enough, but there. But the point of orientation was about the tabernacle. They were all encamped around the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle itself had a point of origin. The opening of the tabernacle always faced east, okay? Now, our point of orientation on the maps probably is north. We get a map, we look for north. Their point of orientation was, here's the front of the tabernacle. It was always facing east, and the Word of God says, towards the rising of the sun. So if this were the tabernacle, it would be right there where the doors are. How convenient. I'm sure when they built this church, I'm joking about that too. The tabernacle had a point of orientation, and it was always towards the east, okay? And then everyone camped, and they had their orientation towards the tabernacle. They were either east or west or north or south of that. And so they had their own orientation, or it was God. Who or what is your point of reference in life? Everybody has a point of reference. Everybody has a reference point that they always go back to. If you have a little GPS and you turn it on, it'll say, searching for signal. And all the satellites that are up in there, that global positioning system, it's going to search and it's going to get their point of orientation and it's going to say, this is where you are. Okay? What is your point of orientation? Who is your point? Everybody has a point of orientation. Where are you in your life today and why? Everybody that you meet, wherever they are in life, it's because they have a point of origin, a point of reference. And if it's the world, if it's their own flesh, if they're tied deeply into television and Hollywood and they're harnessed into this world, that is why they are where they are. Their point of origin determines where they are, where they've been and where they are going. And so they were oriented to God. Now, they weren't just hooked up to a building here. The tabernacle was made of wood and cloth, and just like this building here, physical a structure here. They were not just tied to that building. They were encamped around that building, but it was more than just a building because it held the Holy of Holies and it held the presence of God. And their orientation was not just to the front door of the tabernacle. It was who was inside that tabernacle. God was their point of origin. What was in the Holy of Holies, in that Ark of the Covenant, God's Word, those tables of testimony, that was their point of origin. And what God said and what God did, they were all encamped around that tabernacle because God had brought them and God had saved them and God had delivered them, and they were where they were in their life because God was their point of origin. Because God's Word was their point of origin. And it's, you ladies understand this here. NASCAR racing. And, a normal seatbelt. How many of you ladies wear seatbelts faithfully? You really? Okay, how many of you ladies kind of struggle with that a little bit? Jennifer? Anybody else? How many of you men, you're a seatbelt wearer? You wear seatbelts. Okay, how many of you just like, I don't want those seatbelts. I struggle with seatbelts. Anybody else like that? Okay. So you get in your car. The old seatbelts used to have over here, and you will come over here if you're driving and snap it. It was just at the waist level. Man, that was like bad time. That's like not real good when you get in a wreck. You fold up like this, and it's bad. So then they put in another point of contact here, and they did the shoulder harness, and that was much more secure. And so one across the waist, one across the body here. Now Jennifer tells me that in NASCAR, they've got a 6-point harness or so. And there, is it 6 points? Is it 6-point harness? Bill, is it 6-point harness? Y'all act like you don't know. I tell you what, you do this to me every time. It's Janet, how many? It's 6 points. Thank you. Can I get an amen over a 6-point? You guys are wearing white today. You cannot lie. You got to tell the truth. And so it's harnessed to really secure the body everywhere. And they strap in like this. And now they've got the thing on their helmet too. I mean, they are secure. They are locked into that car. Okay? God's people, when they are encamped around this tabernacle, they didn't have a loose connection to God. They had a multiple point harness system that got them. Their orientation was to God Himself. It was that pillar. It was that fire. It was that tabernacle. It was all of those priests. It was that law. And it was the presence of God. It was the Word of God. And man, oh man, they had their orientation. And the more that they had their orientation, they had their fixed point of reference. And they were numbered, but they were oriented about the tabernacle, and God was their point of orientation. I want the Lord to be my point of orientation. I want His Word to be the thing that orients my life. I want His Word to be the reset button in my life, that when the golden calf appears, Moses comes down and he says, no, this is what we should have done. And it's like when you make a wrong turn and your GPS starts screaming at, starts talking to you, and it tries to reroute you. If God Himself, if this book, if the Church of the Living God, if your pastor, if the deacons, if we can be so oriented to the things of God, I'm going to tell you what, you can have such a secure, you can have a security about your life if you have the proper orientation. And so they were oriented to his word, to that tabernacle, to his laws. Three, they were placed. They were placed. They were placed in a specific location. And I saw this drawing here in one of the study Bibles, and so I copied it. I drew it myself, but I copied it. I didn't photocopy it. I skillfully copied that. And as I looked at that, Reuben knew where they were to be. They started with Reuben, and Reuben was on the east. And on the east side, 2-3, toward the rising of the sun, there shall the standard of the camp of Judah pitch throughout their armies. And so Judah was going to be right there on on the east. So that big square right there, that big square, would you write Judah in there? That was the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah knew exactly where they were to be encamped around the tabernacle. They knew their place. They weren't supposed to be any other location at any time. That was their place of encampment. And in that great plain, and they used to live in Egypt, and now they're in Mount Sinai, they're traveling about. Everybody that was in the tribe of Judah knew exactly on the planet and around the tabernacle where they were to be. And I believe and I love the fact that you can know where you ought to be in your life in relationship to the New Testament church in this day. 1 Corinthians 12 says, God has set them all in the body as it hath pleased him. People make way too much about, oh yeah, I'm a part of the church, you know, but I don't do the local church. You know, that's like being in the workforce, but you don't have a job. All this pie in the sky, all this ridiculous, I listen to Christian radio, I attend summer conferences and, you know, and I give a little bit to Brother Stanley. And well, have Brother Stanley do your funeral when it's time to die, you know, and have him come and pray for you. And if you like MacArthur, have MacArthur. I like these men too. But there's way too much overemphasis on people today in the New Testament that say, I'm a part of the church, and they're not hooked up to a local church. They were hooked up to a physical tabernacle in a location. And God has a church for every New Testament believer in this day. I'm going to stand there, and Lord willing, I'm going to die there, even though the church is going out of style. George Barna says the church is going to go out of style with Christians very soon. We're about down to one service, right? People are loosely affiliated with their church, and they come when they want to. They come when it's good for them. God says, no, I have placed you, know your place, and occupy your place. Judah knew exactly where they were supposed to be. I love it when people know where they're supposed to be. Don't you? Don't you love it when Christians know where they're supposed to be? And they just kept placing them all the way around, and they all knew exactly where they were to be. If it was big enough, we could expand that center. And that, I don't know if it came out as purple or not, that little blip in front of the tabernacle. That was for Moses and for Aaron and his sons, and they knew their place. They knew their place so well, they wouldn't go any other place, and they wouldn't try to fill anybody else's shoes, nor would their place be vacant. Do you know your place in this church? Are you occupying your place? Your place, nobody can fill your place. And so the Gershonites were on the backside. And they were all, everybody knew their place among 2 million people. They all knew exactly where they were to be. I believe that if a person loves God, loves his word, and will just do what God has called them to do in relationship to the church, they will come to a firm conviction where they know that on Sunday morning today, the 24th of March, 2014, it is God's desire that Roger be in the hallway because he's on hallway duty right now and he knows his place. And Jake and Christy knew that it was their place this morning to be greeting at the door. And Brother Bastunas knew that it was his place to be driving the bus. And the teens knew it was their place to be singing. It can be that specific if you get involved. Now, it can be real foggy. But I praise God they knew exactly where they should be. Do you remember? You know, there's 300 million people in America. There's over 300 million people in America. I live in America. And so do a whole lot of other people. Where in America? Michigan, where? Muskegon, where? Mount Garfield Road, where? 1128 West Mount Garfield Road. I know exactly where I belong and where I live geographically. And it can be that wonderful and that sweet for every child of God, not just for them, but for the people of God in this day. Numbered, you know? No, they were numbered. They were oriented and they were placed. You know, did anybody go to a big high school? Fairly big high school? My graduating class was pretty big. I think it was like 12. But I did go to some big high schools. And I remember being in junior high and high school. And I remember the first day of junior high school, I was scared stiff. And lockers and class, I never changed classes before. And it seemed like a massive school and hundreds of kids. And if you go to a school with a thousand kids in a high school, they give you this little piece of paper, and you know where your locker is. You know where your hallway is. You know what locker is yours, and you know the combination, 24, 14, 12. You know where your books are. You know where your teachers are. You know where your classes are. And if people can be that oriented in school, I'm here to say God has a wonderful plan for your life, that if you will stick with God and with His church, He will make things so clear to you that you will know. You will even know where to sit in church. That was a joke too. But they were numbered, they were oriented, and they were placed. And as I read through this, it says in each encampment, after they give the first group, the tribe, the major tribe, and it says, and then they shall pitch by him, Simeon. So once Judah was placed in his appropriate place, then they could build upon that, and then Simeon would come. If you will be in your place, others can encamp beside you. Don't have any gaps in the line. Fill your spot. Be oriented toward God. And be in your place and let others be beside you. It just builds. It's a wonderful thing. So all of these tribes, they had their placement. East. Some of them were from the east side. Where you? I live on the east side. Yeah. And some of them lived on the south side. And I know that's a little too much there for some of you serious people here. But the point is, God has the power to, God has numbered every saved person in His army. Think about the total, do you ever think about the total capacity of this church, what we could all do for God if everybody put their hand on the plow, if everybody tithed, if everybody gave, if everybody worked on this property, if everybody put, do you ever think about what we could all do together? There's hardly a day that goes by that I don't. There's hardly a day that goes by that I don't think, what could we all do if we banded together? You could say God's got your number. God's got special plans for every one of us here today in His church. Numbered, oriented. How strong is your orientation? What guides every decision of your life? Is it school? Is it work? Is it yourself? I don't think so. I think it's God. I think it's God's word. And I believe that as the tabernacle was the center of their life, if you will make the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the center of your life, and everything flows outside of that, you will experience all that God wants you to have. The world should not be the center of our lives. The church shouldn't be on the fringe. Too many Christians are putting the church on the fringe. They're trying to fit the church in. God says, no, encamp around. Get your heart deeply involved. Get your family deeply involved in the church. That's why so many families are suffering and not making it. This is old-fashioned biblical preaching. This is not come and do the guitar thing and get a donut and praise and get all stirred up and hear a two-minute cute message and then go home and, you know, fill out your bracket the rest of the day and go eat nachos and dips and, you know, hopefully Michigan State makes it and they keep going. And I don't know if they won last night or not, but, you know, there's more to life than what the world is doing. And God says, if you will orient your life around my word and my church, I've got, you are numbered. Have your orientation. Just as a GPS signal gets it, get your orientation from God. And then we're placed. God, we're placed. We are placed. I know that I'm placed. I know that you are placed. Are you occupying your place? What's beautiful about this is all preparatory. Because once God numbers His people, gives them Himself as His orientation, and they find their placement, God says, now that everybody's in your place, get ready for what's coming next. I'm going to have you move. I'm going to have you conquer some land. Are you ready? Do you know your orientation? Are you ready for what God has next in this church? I'm not talking about your job, your life, school, sports. I'm not talking about projects we've got, the yard, garage sales, Hobby Lobby. I'm not talking about our life. I'm talking about, are we oriented so strongly to God's word that we are ready in this church for what God wants us to do in April? Do you know what the church has been doing? Do you know what the church should be doing? It is beautiful that it says when they break camp, this group's going to go first, and this will be followed. Judah, you get ready. You're going to break camp first. We always need some to lead. The men that preached and taught this morning led. And when those that lead, everybody else, if the first people will break camp and go and let God use them, then everybody else can follow. We need leaders, and then we need followers. And it just breaks camp. And this whole thing was structured in such a way that all of those 2 million people could in order, they knew their job, they knew their place, and they knew what God wanted them to do, and they were a massive army for God. They all knew their job. They all knew what they ought to be doing. Oh, they were numbered. They were oriented. They were placed. And then it was all for the purpose of, you know what? God wants me to control this church like kids do with we. Like we do with our mouse on our computer. You know, you got your cordless mouse and you move the cursor. God wants to control this church. And he wants us to do exactly what his will is. But I got to know I'm in the number. And I've got to have God as my orientation. You too. And we got to be built around this place. We got to be built around this place. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to know. This church, any church that is structured like this, can be a force for God. Can be a force for the Lord, and he can move them and use them in any way that he wants them to do. What's your orientation? What's your place? If you don't know your place, I'll help you find it. Others can help you find it. If you'll be in your place, you'll learn your place. Oh, I want God to be able to supernaturally direct this church. I don't want to direct this church. I believe God's going to have some special things for us to do in the very near future. I've got to be linked up. I've got to be synced up to more than my own life. I've got to be synced up to God and his word and his spirit and acted as one wonderful body with no parts missing. God can do some wonderful, wonderful things. Let's pray. Are you in God's family? That's where we start. Need to be saved. Are we in God's army? Are we part of the spiritual force of this church that stands for the truth and right and supports it with our tithes, with our offerings, with our physical presence, with our service? Are you in God's army at Little Black Lake Baptist Church? That's the question. What is your orientation? Amy, would you find I have decided to follow Jesus, and we'll sing that as we close here. Numbered, oriented, and placed. You say, Pastor, the Lord has used something in this message to help me this morning, and I want to thank God for it. Anything like that at all today? Did God help anybody? Father, I want to thank you for that word. Lord, there are so many places in the world that wants to number us. They want us in their ranks. God, I'm so glad that you have numbered us to be in your church. Lord, it's a high and holy privilege you've numbered us. Not just to be in your family, but Lord God, to be in your army. Lord, would you help us with our orientation? Lord, our default mode. What is the one thing we go back to that drives all of our decisions? Our kids? Our job? Our hobbies? Lord, is it the living word of God? Is it Christ? Is it the church of the living God that is active on this earth today? Lord, help us to be in our place, occupying our place for thee, so we can move when you say move, so we can stop when you say stop, so we can serve when you say serve. And we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Would you find your book? What number is that, Amy? 397. Let's stand and sing 397. Bill, would you come and help me here? Over here at this microphone, 397. Let's sing verse 1 and verse 2. I have decided to follow Jesus. Man, let's get our orientation. Let's do all that God has called us to do. Bill, lead us in verse number 1.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me,
I go, how many of you know where you sit at the table at home? How many of you know your place? You know your place. I sit in the same place every time. The kids try to take my spot. Come on, man. It's my spot. I know that when I go home, I can go to the bathroom, and we've got a double sink there. I even know which sink is mine. In this whole world, there's one sink that is mine. Amen. I'm blessed. While that's wonderful, and I can find my own driveway, my own mailbox, life can be so specific, you can know the will of God down to what He wants you to do tonight and during the service and after the service and tomorrow. If that tabernacle so demanded the encampment of those people, and the atonement was purchased by the blood of bulls, and they knew their place, if God stressed, know your place and don't get moved out of your place, and if it's protected by the blood of bulls, Hebrews says, how much more should the people of God that are saved be in their place in the church of the living God that has been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Yeah. I know where I want to be. Praise God. Until I draw my last breath. I don't want to lose my place. I might lose my double sink. You know, might lose my house, might have to move someday. I hope I never lose my orientation to God and to His Word. Hope I never lose my place in His church. Hope I never drift so far I lose my orientation to the church of the living God, the pillar and crown of the truth. Father, thank you again for this day. Thank you for the blessings of it. It's been tremendous. Before we barely entered the service, I want to thank you for the men that spoke. Thank you for the choruses that were sung. Thank you, Lord, for each teacher that gave your word today, for each set of ears that were here to hear thy word. Lord, I want to thank you for the great singing, the songs, and for thy word. God, it is our privilege to be numbered. Lord, not on a pit crew, not on an Olympic team. Lord, not on a great corporation's payroll, but Lord God, to be numbered in the army of the Lord. And Paul said, I have fought a good fight. And he didn't mean he did a great job. He meant I've been engaged in a very, very cause. Guide us. Guide us this afternoon. May we keep our minds upon thee. And bring us back tonight at 6 o'clock to about a special consecration. Devoting some special time to thee. For thy work, for thy cause. All right, you are dismissed. Thank you.